This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
News story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
I love this story, and I hope that we get to do something like this locally. So the media covering the Boston Celtics, Mike, they were scheduled to play a pickup game among themselves at Boston's practice facility on Tuesday. So the media members that are on the beat are going to go up against each other. But Joe Mazzulla, the head coach for the Celtics, he said, "Hey, I don't want to break it to you, but you're not playing against each other. You're playing against the coaches." So the coaches, the Boston Celtics coaching staff, played against the media. And it is hilarious. I'm looking at some of the videos and the pictures now. Michael, what would you guess the score would be? You know, just imagine a regular media member person and what they probably look like against NBA coaches that probably played at one point, probably are staying in pretty good shape still. What do you think the score was?
I'm going to say 130-9.
57-4. It was 57. I would like to know.
Was the shot clock, like, was it a mercy rule as soon as they got to 40?
How long did they actually try to, how long did they play? I don't know. But that's hilarious. I mean, because again, these guys have former NBA players. They got 6'9 dudes. They got 6'7 dudes all over the place. But this is such a, what a great way for, like, Boston to take out some aggression on media. Like, you know, all of those media members, or some of them, they probably had some negative things to say about the head coach and the Boston Celtics after a loss or something like that. They've probably had a bunch of that, and it had to be kind of therapeutic for Boston to annihilate them in a media versus the coach game.
I don't know how many of those cheerleaders can ball, but I bet the cheerleaders would have beat the media.
Russell Westbrook has found a new home. He has agreed to play next season for the Sacramento Kings. He will be playing his 18th season in the NBA. So, I mean, he's going to be playing with guys like Zach LaVine, DeMar DeRozan, Sabonis, Schroeder, and then, our guy Nick Clifford's on that team. Isaiah Stevens, I believe, is on that team. So, yeah, good for Russell Westbrook. I know a lot of people have a lot of, "Yeah, I hate Russell. At the end, it was awful." And I don't have a lot of negatives to say. I enjoyed watching him play. Then you hear he had the hand injury too. But yeah, he had moments, especially as we got late into the season. Vay and I, old producer, we talked about it. He's like, "Dude, you're going to like him in the regular season. Just wait until you get in the playoffs." And then, you know, that certainly happened. He had his moments. That made me want to pull my hair out, but I'm a Russell Westbrook fan. I'll always be a fan of his. It's not when the Kings play the Nuggets this upcoming season. The Jacksonville Jaguars are planning a bigger role on offense for former Colorado Buffalo Travis Hunter. They're making this, they're making this official here, but they're going to be sure to make his, like, plays, how many plays he's going to have that are designed for him as the number one option, as a priority, and try to take advantage of his speed and athleticism. So, hey, I love watching him play. He's had sample sizes right now at this point, but he's been a lot of fun. How about this one? This is what I was asking you, Mike. This is what I was asking you during the break. Jameer Brown is the country's top wide receiver in the class of 2027. So he is a high school football player. He is, according to Pete Thamel of ESPN, he is the centerpiece of a lawsuit filed in state court in Ohio that seeks to allow him to benefit from his name, image, and likeness while in high school. A move that may trigger the State Athletic Association to change its rules. The complaint names the Ohio High School Athletic Association, which prohibits its athletes from profiting off their NIL. The lawsuit was filed Wednesday in the Court of Common Pleas in Franklin County. Brown is committed to play at Ohio State. He has earning power, according to ESPN, of more than $100,000 per year, according to the complaint. The lawsuit was filed by Brown's mother, Jasmine, in her role as the parent or guardian of Brown. I'm going to say something right now.
He's going to win.
He should.
I agree.
Thanks for ruining the punchline there for me, Mike. I think he should absolutely win. Can he work?
How old is he?
If he's a class of 2027.
Yeah, he's old enough to work, I think.
He's what? 16, 17?
I mean, I could walk around with a billboard and I'd get paid for that.
If you're old enough to work, which, what is the, we talked about that. That's why I was asking you. Like, what is,
so
there's different rules.
I understand it.
Yeah.
And I could be wrong, but I think as an 11-year-old, I think an 11-year-old can babysit.
Okay,
I think.
So what if you're 16? You're 15.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So you can work at Subway.
You can do it at basically almost every job
so
at
if
Subway.
So if you could work a minimum wage or whatever, or less than whatever, if you can work those jobs, then you can make money off your image and like your image, name, image, and likeness.
I mean, you can have a 40-hour week as far as I know. It depends on the state, but I think you can work 40 hours a week if you work during the summer.
I know that some people are like, oh, Brady, this sets a bad precedent and this is going to be even crazier now. I get it. I get it. But I'm not going to tell somebody that they can't earn. Earn. When you're old enough, it's all street legal. If you could work at the movie theater, then you can get money off of your name, image, and likeness. I think 100% you should be able to do that.
As long as your parents aren't scumbags and stealing it from you.
Well, it's gonna cause more of the under-table dealings and all that stuff, too. But, I stand by it. I do think NIL, at its core, is necessary. And it's
going to help some of these students in the lower socioeconomic school districts.
Yeah, fine. But I'm more talking about, like, dude, if you can go get a job, then you can get paid. If someone wants to pay you for your autograph, if a car dealership wants to pay you to come to the car dealership and be there and get a chance to meet the next big thing, then you should be able to. 12:13 the time. We got the next big thing right here coming up. Eric Gibson Jr., the quarterback for the UNC Bears. He has been red hot since he took over. He's been getting better every single game. A monster reason why the Bears are 3-3. Receiving votes in the FCS Top 25. We'll talk to Eric coming up next. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
One is a trickster. One is a treat. Good morning, NoCo. Weekdays on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Cato June, all-pro linebacker, Super Bowl champion. You're listening to 1310 KFKA.
Have been working together. Monster game coming up this weekend. Northern Colorado taking on Sacramento State. Both teams receiving votes in the top 25. My guess is the winner might actually get ranked and put in that top 25. Joining me now, one of the guys responsible for this turnaround that I have never witnessed with the UNC Bears, and that is quarterback Eric Gibson Jr. Man, Eric, thanks so much for giving us some time today. Really appreciate you. I know you got a busy schedule, but we wanted to get a chance to talk to you, man. It's been so fun to watch you this season.
Oh, yes, sir. Thank you so much. And I'm blessed and extremely grateful to be up here and share some things with you.
Yeah. First off, when I was out at practice, I don't know, man. It was maybe spring or maybe it was sometime in the off season. I just remember watching you and just how supportive you were of all your teammates, of Peter Castelli, of the other quarterbacks, just constantly clapping, cheering, going at defensive backs. And then after practice, I like to tell a story. I'm watching you. I'm talking to Coach Lamb, and you're standing back waiting to talk to Coach. And I don't know why that stood out to me. I mean, you just struck me right off the bat of a guy that's like, hey, Coach, what do I need to do? And Coach Lamb brought this story up today, said you wanted to talk to him at some point in the offseason, and he assumed you were going to be like, hey, what do I got to do to be the starting quarterback? And you said, what do I got to do to be the best number two quarterback I can be? That's phenomenal, man.
Yeah. You know, obviously I wanted to have a sit down with Coach Lamb and talk. You know, everyone wants to be the starter. Everyone wants to be the guy. But I would say, you know, the most important thing for me was understanding my role on this team, you know, and if that was being one play away and you know, being ready for my opportunities, and that's what it was. But one thing that I kind of prided myself on was week in, week out, preparing like I was a starter, whether I was second or whether I was fifth, you know, watching film, throwing extra with the receivers, you know, that's what kind of helped me just keep trucking along. You know, I prepared like every Saturday I was going to go out there and play.
We're talking to Eric Gibson Jr., quarterback for the UNC Bears, and I love that mindset. And this is so interesting, too, because, you know, last year was kind of the same situation to start. Peter Castelli goes down, other quarterbacks come in, they go down, and the Bears just never really found that footing. And with you, I mean, I'm seeing a quarterback, and I'm seeing a team, I'm seeing an offense that's just getting better every single week.
Right, yeah, I mean, the main thing for us offensively is, you know, over the past couple of weeks, we've been just trying to do a better job of starting fast. And, I mean, that showed this past game. We went down first drive and scored, and the Kibbe Dome was quiet, and our sideline was electric. But, yeah, I mean, our mindset is we're going to throw the ball. We're going to be aggressive. We're going to take violent shots. You know, our receivers, you give them the ball in the air, they're going to take it out of the air. And I tell them that, you know, in meetings, in the morning and in practice, hey, look, when I throw the ball up to you, right, I'm going to, one, give you a chance, and two, I'm trusting that you're going to take it out of the air. Every ball in the air is yours. Like, take it out of the air. So, you know, we love to throw the football. We've been kind of moving in that direction. And, you know, I'm just super grateful for Coach Lamb trusting me with that role. Like, that's not something to be taken lightly. And my offensive coordinator, Coach Walter Side, you know, credit to him, man. He does a great job week in and week out preparing me and, you know, watching film and taking notes, installing new things. So, you know, honestly, as long as we just continue to stick with our plan and be confident, play Bear football, we'll be just fine.
I think your journey, you know, obviously your college journey has been so fascinating. But just this season specifically, I mean, you come in the Shadron State game, but you get your first start as a Bear on the road, not too far away in Fort Collins against an FBS opponent that was, you know, in a bowl game last year. They were one game away from getting to their conference championship game. And it was a pretty packed house that day. And so what was that moment? And I know you've been in some big moments, but what was that like, you know, getting the keys handed over to you in a game like that?
Yeah, great question. I mean, it was awesome. I remember after the game, you know, it was a heartbreaking loss, but, you know, my coaches sent me a picture, and the last stats that they had of me was of my junior college season. And, you know, coming out of the tunnel before, you know, as they ran onto the field and we ran onto the field, it kind of hit me. Like, I was just in junior college last year, and now I'm getting my first start against an FBS team. But also knowing that this is a moment to prove myself and to prove to our fans, to prove to, you know, the staff that I am who I say I am. You know, I'm a big-time player who shows up in big-time moments. And honestly, you know, credit to CSU. You know, they had a great environment, great team, great defense. But the only thing it comes down to is, you know, once that ball hits my hands, everything goes quiet, and it's about my progression, protecting the football and protecting the team.
Speaking of environments, the Kibbe Dome, talk to me about that, because watching that game, especially for the field goal kickers, it's like you're kicking it up against a wall. It's really, really an interesting layout there.
Yeah. I would say the domes are, you know, from South Dakota to Idaho, the domes are some of my favorite places to play. You know, there's nowhere for the noise to go. It's loud. You know, the prep all week is, like Coach Lamb said, you know, the players against his PA system. So it was an electric environment, definitely. You know, credit to Idaho. They have a great fan base. And I honestly enjoy those environments. They're so fun. You know, you get a little bit of chirping from the fans from right behind you as you're looking at the previous drive. But, you know, you just focus on what's important and the rest will take care of itself.
You guys definitely focused on what was important. You put up 49 points, man. I mean, I don't remember. I'm seriously trying to dig it up. I don't remember the last time I've seen the Bears put up that many points. I don't remember the last time a team, you know, beat a ranked opponent like this in Idaho. There's a lot of firsts, man, and it's really cool to see, and you're such a monster part of that.
Right. Well, you know, everyone, you know, sees the Gibson Jr. and thinks it's the Gibson Jr. Air Raid show, but let me tell you, I'd be nothing without, you know, my coaching staff, my offensive line. They do a great job week in and week out. You know, just awesome with picking up blitzes and giving me time to deliver. You know, running backs are also part of that in the pass pro, and our running backs, tight ends, and receivers, I mean, they do a great job of catching the ball, getting vertical, making plays. So, you know, I honestly wouldn't be anything without those guys. I'm super appreciative of them. But there's also shows of, you know, the amount of time that we spent building our chemistry together in the offseason. And as soon as I was named the starter, I mean, the guys just kind of, you know, rallied around me, and we started to build our connection, and we knew this was going to be something special.
What is the relationship like with you and Peter Castelli at this point? Because that's obviously tough on him, too. He goes down, he's looking forward to a great season, and then he goes down so early, and then you take over, and you're doing phenomenal. What has that been like for both of you guys?
Right, yeah. I mean, the moment that he went down, you know, I was hurt for him. You know, he was playing a really good game. But, you know, opportunities, sometimes they don't go away. They go to other people, but Peter's a great quarterback, like I said. I mean, the competition from spring all the way to fall was great. Like, we both got better. You know, we pushed each other. And he's a great quarterback and an even better person. You know, one funny story, we played Idaho State, and he was like, man, that was a great ball that you threw on one of our plays. And I was like, dude, like, you know, seeing all the clips from the spring or the previous year of you throwing that ball against that coverage, like, how could I miss that? You know, so we both kind of laughed, but it was a great story.
What's it like? I mean, you got a lot of weapons, man, getting Braden Monroe back from injury, Carver Cheeks has been phenomenal all season. You got a good list there, but those two dudes were playing at a high caliber level last weekend.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, our receivers, I mean, they are great. Like I said, they will go and take the ball out of the air. You know, but having Braden Monroe back was huge for us. You know, he's a huge piece of our receiver core. And Carver Cheeks is Carver Cheeks. You know, that explains itself. But, yeah, I mean, just super glad to have these guys. And, you know, honestly, we played a pretty good game. But the main thing that the coaches told us and that we reciprocated to each other as players this week was, how can we build on that? Like, last week was good, but how can we build on that? You know, just – everyone sees the game and sees the score, but, you know, we come back and watch the film, and there's so many things that we can improve on, and we probably could have put up a lot more points. So just focusing on refining the details, that's been the main motto this week.
You guys are, I don't know if you're doing social media. I'm sure there are guys that do the social media stuff. I know Coach Lamb has an X account, but I don't think he's ever done anything on it. So I'm always telling him the stuff like, hey, here's this, you're first to do this, blah, blah, blah. Do you guys talk about, you know, receiving votes in the top 25, obviously you beat Idaho, as you're talking about that, but what it means to this community, maybe the biggest win in the FCS era for UNC. Do you guys talk about any of that stuff, or is it just like this quietly understood thing?
We see it, but at the end of the day, it's, in my opinion, you know, it's kind of rat poison. You know, the mountaintop is where it's slippiest at, you know, so you think you're riding on this high horse, that's when you get knocked off. You know, we see it. We understand it means a lot to our fans. But I'm sure, just like they do, we want more. Yesterday, before we started practice, like, you know, I told the team, hey, look, we've been hearing all weekend, you know, don't get complacent, and it's one win, blah, blah, blah. But I was like, this team is hungry. You know, we see all the social media stuff. We're just focused on going 1-0 every week. We know how much that means to our team, to our coaches. we know how much it means to our fans and to the people of Greeley. And, you know, we just want to go 1-0 every week.
Talk to me a little bit about what you've seen, because you've been on different teams, different college teams, obviously, in your background. What is the culture like? Because we all hear the stuff from Coach Lamb, and we've talked to several players off and on over the years. But, I mean, you could really feel a culture change, you know, over the course of the last 3 years since Ed Lamb has been the head coach. But what have you seen when you first arrived here in Greeley?
Right. I mean, when I first arrived here, the culture was definitely different. You know, we've shifted from, and I've asked guys, you know, like before I was, when I was new in the system, like, hey, what was the culture here like last year? What were things like? And, you know, sometimes it was just players not holding players accountable. And as the spring went on and summer went on and fall went on, this team slowly became a player-led team to where, you know, if we see someone out of line or, you know, if I'm expecting you to be somewhere in your route or, you know, if the receiver is expecting a certain kind of ball, like, we call each other out on it. Like, there's no shame in our game. We're not doing it to demean or bring anybody down. But we know the level that we want to play at. So this is definitely, it's been a culture shift. It's a player-led team. We are not afraid to get on each other because we know what level of greatness we want to achieve.
It seems like from what I've heard and seen, it's just a selfless group, and that is hard to do because we are in this day and age, especially in college sports, where it's guys want to get theirs. You know, they want to get their numbers so they can do whatever, have a bigger future. But I'm hearing the story of you saying, how can I be a better number two quarterback? I see the running backs, man. I see on any given Saturday, it could be Brandon Johnson. It could be Matthias Pryor. Any one of these guys could have multiple carries, but it's so spread out, and you don't hear a lot of complaining. It just seems like you're all a selfless bunch of dudes with one common goal.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's the best way that you could put it, honestly. You know, we understand that each week, you know, someone else could eat, you know, and each week, you know, this player may have this amount of yards and catches. And, you know, honestly, the main thing that, like, our team has as a mindset is just move the football. You know, if this guy goes down and has, you know, a 100-yard drive or, you know, a 100-yard run or a 100-yard catch, what matters most is moving the football. You know, so there are times in the game that, you know, we had a big pass that led up to a touchdown. And, you know, the stats, they don't really mean anything. You know, as long as we put points on the board and we win, that's all that matters. This is definitely a very selfless group.
We're talking to Eric Gibson Jr., quarterback for the UNC Bears. The Bears are 3-3. Like we said, receiving votes in the top 25, going up against Sac State this weekend. And from what I'm seeing of this team on their offensive side of the ball, they're running like crazy. They are running the ball. They're going to try to control that clock. So obviously, we know what kind of pressure that puts on the offensive side of the ball to take advantage of those opportunities when you get them.
Right, yeah, I agree. You know, they have a great athlete at quarterback. You know, their offense is really good. Defense is strong as well. So offensively, we just have to get out to an early start, and we just have to play our game, right? We've been coached on what to do, how to do it. So, and we have to be fast. Offensively, we have to be fast. You know, knowing that Sac State is their homecoming, and, you know, we just put up a lot of points, and, you know, they may try to limit the offense, but what matters most is just playing UNC Bear football, right? Just protecting the football, moving the ball down the field, scoring points. So
7:00 ESPN+. I am so pumped for this game. I believe it's the Big Sky Conference game of the week too. It's, dude, I went to UNC, and I my freshman year was the first year that they were making that transition to FCS, Division I FCS, and here we sit, 2025, and finally it feels like we're starting to see some movement. And so, dude, thank you for just being a hell of a young football, or a hell of a young man, great football player, and just love your attitude. Love all the stories surrounding you, man. We wish you the best of luck this weekend, my friend.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much for having me today. Go Bears, and God bless.
Hey, let's do it again, Eric. I would love to get you on the show again, because I know we're gonna be talking about big games down the road, too.
Yes, sir. I foresee that in the future as well. Let's do it.
All right, man. Eric Gibson Jr., quarterback for the UNC Bears. That dude, that's just I got a mission in front of me. We're not focused on the socials. We're not focused on beating Idaho. Well, it was cool. We're not talking about it. Like, doesn't he just sound like he's in that? And I mean this in the most positive way, but he is robotic. He is fixated on achieving greatness at UNC.
Sounds like he's going, oh, that was a fun win. Who's next?
Yeah. Well, that's what you want, right? Coach Lamb talked to this team after the CSU game. It's like, hey, you guys won on the internet. Everybody's saying you won. Michael, on the whole show, that Star Wars guy, he's saying you won. Is that what we want? Is that what we're satisfied with? Everybody says we won. Doggone it, those Bears deserve the win. Or do we take that and get pissed off and go out and win the next game? Or compete in the next game? And I tell you, they lost South Dakota the next week. But they were supposed to get blown out. They force overtime in that game. Had a real, real chance to win that. Couldn't punch it in with several opportunities on the 1 yard line. But then they take on Houston Christian. They go to overtime there. They win this time. They battled back against Idaho State. And then they... Did you just do that thing?
What?
The stupid thing that you do? I'm so glad we're done seeing Idaho State and Idaho. That way we don't ever have to do this again.
I just want to let you know, I was just saying it off the air.
I heard you through the glass.
I wouldn't have to say, I don't know what you're talking about.
Mike, you've produced games for UNC. You've, and I'm just going to say it, you've been bored to tears and frustrated with that fact. That's part of your job over the years.
Sitting there on a Saturday morning listening to them lose. That was not fun.
There was
many
a lot
years
of
not winning.
It's amazing how this culture change. Tanner just texted and said, I heard that from my office, your stupid little Idaho thing.
I have my door open.
Yeah, it was loud. So don't act like I'm being a jerk for calling it out. It was loud and distracted me. So well done. But dude, this is a phenomenal story in the area. And I mean, if they beat Sacramento State and they get ranked, then they're going to get statewide attention. I gave Ed Lamb a hard time because he was like 2 minutes late for the podcast. I was like, oh, you guys 3-3, receiving votes in the top 25, and suddenly we can't be on time for a podcast. I've been late several times. I usually am the one that's texting, like, I'm almost there when I'm parked, not when I'm driving, because I pull over to do that. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. It's a lot of fun to watch this team. And you hear it in these dudes. I had Hank Gibbs on a couple weeks ago, Mike, and same kind of stuff. Like, that's neat that you're complimenting me on a touchdown, but I don't care. It's about the mission. And this team, if they beat Sacramento State, there's a good chance that they're going to be ranked. If they beat Sacramento State, it will be the first time that they have won 4 games since 2016. That is really exciting to see how it's exciting to see potentially how far this team can go.
I just cried a little bit.
Did you?
I did. Just remembering all those years of them not winning a lot of games, showing up for work on a Saturday, hoping that this would be a win, and then hearing the other team score first.
Yeah, there was a lot of that. That was going on. And now, we're hoping.
And then there were those few games where you were like, oh, it's a close one. And then just a little wide right. A little wide right that we...
Yeah. Good job.
There were a few. And then there was the one against Wyoming where they could have won that one, but then just unfortunately in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, that was I remember that game. There were the moments where you kind of felt like there might be a turn coming, but it didn't last very long.
Yeah, that fourth quarter meltdown. Wyoming just proved, hey, we have some more resources than you.
Yeah, 38 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Hey, this is Ellison Hubbard, former CSU Ram, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
Yeah, probably a good point. John and John Fort Fun texting in. Imagine how many more votes they would have had if the refs had not jobbed the Bears. Would they be a ranked team today if they would be? They'd be 4-2 with a win over CSU.
I believe they would have been a ranked team before that.
Before? What do you mean?
Well, before this game.
Oh, okay.
They might have been ranked.
Yes.
Had they not been screwed over by the refs.
That's what I was asking.
They wouldn't be ranked. It wouldn't be ranked just for this team. It would have been ranked right after the CSU victory.
Oh, okay. You said they would have been ranked after that? You felt like they would have been ranked after beating, if they would have beat CSU?
I think so,
yeah. 2-0? Was that the second game of the season?
I think a lot of people would have looked at that victory and been like, wait a minute.
I don't know. Maybe.
It wouldn't have been like, they wouldn't have given them a number 15. It would have been like a 25.
The Bears have never been ranked, though, right?
I don't think so.
And at the FCS level?
No, I don't think so. I don't recall us ever being this positive about them. Like, excited about some things, yes. Like, oh, they have a winning record, yes, but not this positive.
How much do you look at, okay, they beat Idaho 49-33. They were, now, let's be real, Idaho was out without their quarterback, Joshua Wood.
But that's 49 points on offense.
That's true. That's true. So you're not really, like, that's not a concern. You think this Bears team is legit.
I think this Bears team is legit.
I think so, too. Yeah, I do too.
They're going to have to prove it in this next game because they have another tough game and another tough one after
that. Yeah, this game's going to be tough because the Bears' defense is really good, but they have struggled to stop the run off and on this year.
They'll be able to stop the run against Montana State.
Well, I'm talking about Sacramento. One week at a time, Mike.
I'm just telling you about the guaranteed victory.
One game at a time. You're jumping ahead, man.
I want everybody to know that I have pure confidence in UNC when they beat Montana State.
What about this weekend? Why are you obsessed with that one? There's plenty of games on the docket.
Because I called it. I called it at the beginning of the season, before CSU even.
Ooh, I called it.
You got called one game.
Put your money down in Vegas. This is not legal advice or betting advice. Put your money down, but this is not betting advice.
If they don't beat Montana State, you have to do the 30-minute podcast of why Star Wars is smarter than Star Trek.
Do that? No way. I'm not.
Well, you're
that.
So confident about it, then
don't do that.
Put your money where your mouth is.
But like, why would I lie to the people for 30 minutes?
I don't know. It'd just be funny.
Lie to people?
Yeah, it'd be funny to hear you talk about Star Wars.
I can talk about Star Wars, yeah.
Well, and how
I don't hate Star
how much
Wars.
Better it is than Star Trek.
It's not better. I mean, it depends
smarter,
on
for sure. Better writing.
What you like.
I got text here. No, he was asking. I was talking about Anders. What was the guy you were talking about? Andor. And GoPoke says, no, it's Spock Solo's sister, bro. Is that true?
That is not true. His sister is Michael Burnham.
That is, I don't care.
And that series is terrible.
What series?
The one that Michael Burnham
How
is.
How many freaking series is are there?
There are a lot of series. Like, Paramount's like, hey, Star Wars is making a bunch of stuff. Why don't we reboot Star Trek and make a prequel? And that prequel was really, really terrible.
Weird. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. I put out Smitty texting in on the Wyoming thing. We said, can they score 40? And Smitty goes, yeah, Wyoming can score 40. October is a long month. Pretty good. Pretty good.
Burn.
I put out this tweet last night, kind of going off of my take on Jay Norvell. And I just said, hey, here's where my brain is at the current moment. Here's where my brain is at the current moment. Jay Norvell swallowed some pride and delegated. Having Mummy call plays isn't a strike against him. It's realizing that he might be better off focusing on managing the game if he has someone else sending calls in. If they run the ball, commit to it. They'll beat Hawaii, maybe more. I'm rooting for Jay Norvell to usher in the new era. I want that, but I got to see it again. Beat Hawaii, and I'm all freaking in. I just don't know if they can commit to the dirty work of running the football. That's my fear. People are like, what? Why are you... You're saying, someone says, Matt says, you're not sure if he can commit to literally exactly what he did last year, even though fans were upset because they wanted to see air raid. I think Jay has that in the bag. Why did you go away from it? That's when the Rams lose, that's when they go away from the run game. 49 minutes after the hour. Faith, I have a coworker in here, and advantage that Star Wars is better than Star Trek. They're saying that Star Wars is better than Star Trek. Also laughing at your Michael impersonation. That's not an impersonation. I mean, that sounds exactly like him. That was you talking when I did that.
Faith, I do not. I'm not going to fight with your coworker.
Yeah.
I believe that it is a matter of opinion in some instances. In other instances, it's a matter of fact that Star Trek is better than Star Wars.
Star Wars
better than Star Trek.
Dungeons and Dragons, mind twist.
12:49 the time. Let's take a quick break. It's a whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
I did like the Dungeons and Dragons movie.
I bet you did.
Ready for the college football weekend with Rocky Mountain College kickoff. Fridays at 2 and an encore Saturdays at 7. We are Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Chris Abshire, Fort Collins, Colorado, and you are listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
I think people like when I bully you. Faith says she's got like several coworkers now sitting listening because I think me and just being kind of mean to you. I think people enjoy that because I think you know people hear you and then they're like, "God, he's so annoying with the Star Wars stuff." And then when I call you on it, it's actually pretty hilarious. So thanks, Mike.
Well, it's death metal from now on.
Sean Keeler will join me from the Denver Post, Keeling Me Softly. Let's see if Michael screwed that up or not. And then we'll talk some Denver Nuggets. I have some thoughts on the Denver Nuggets. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. Buy or sell. Coming up next.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.